Get a jump start on 2024 in a new Kia from Robert Brogdon's Olathe Kia. Shop their large selection, including the new Sorento, Niro, and Soul models. You'll score big with low prices, trade assist cash, and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit OlatheKia.com.
Frank Bull is brought to you by CBD American Shaman in Shamansley with Total Wellness at 117th and Row in Camelot Court. Shamansley with Total Wellness is the perfect place to start your wellness journey, offering medical aesthetics and IV nutrient therapy. Go to shamantotalwellness.com.
He's the only man to interview modern-day gladiators at Arrowhead and original gladiators in the Coliseum. He grew up rooting for Honus Wagner and saw Jesse Owens get 4 golds in Berlin. He saw Wilt score 100 in a night. Points, of course. Yes, we are saying he's old. It's the godfather of Kansas City sports, Frank Bohl, on the program.
First things first, Frank.
Yes.
Your thoughts on the renaming of the Missouri-Arkansas rivalry to the Fartknocker Cup?
I said it in the break.
I heard that.
If just once in my life I can hear Eli Drinkwitz say the Fartknocker Cup, and I'm playing for that Fartknocker Cup crud. Yeah, man.
It seems to be getting some traction with folks.
I imagine it probably does. Sure. Why wouldn't it?
I mean, I think that's what we need. Like, let's stop acting like football's so damn serious.
Yeah.
Let's play for the Fartknocker Cup.
Plus, let's go. We're going to plant our flag there.
Borderline rivalry.
No, hey, battle line.
Battle line. What should we call this, this battle?
So what would we find? You can't have wars.
No,
you
can't
have
a war.
You can have a battle.
Yeah.
Battle it out. Battle till your heart's content.
That's right. No wars, though. We can't have
wars.
The border war.
No.
Can't do that.
Unless it's a war on drugs, right, Jed?
Yes.
That's a terrible war.
Stop that crap.
I don't think that's the case.
Been right, Jed?
Hugely effective.
Well,
just look at Jed.
Not to make this into a political forum, but I do think that.
Come on. Yeah.
You've been begging to drag us into politics on the show for months.
Yep. Let's come in. Frank, what are you going to talk about?
Let's get into that war on drugs. Let's get Jed going.
There you go.
Let's go over the topics. I want to get into that Capitol raid. That's what I want to do.
Reproductive rights. Let's talk about that.
Oh, really? Big candy asses won't go anywhere near it.
I do have something to talk
about. That's the pre-show. That's how it usually starts.
I'll bet it does.
Starts with Jed going, well, are we going to touch the hot button topics? We're going to dance around on this foolish football crap again.
Let's talk about the elephant in the room.
Dumbo.
And I'm like, guys, I'm right here. No, not you.
Dumbo. Bring him in. Okay. I need some advice.
I hope it's not on politics.
No, it's not.
You're going to have to go on the other side of the glass and talk to the guy who's cutting edge on the politics, Jed Marshall.
There are a few areas of life where...
This does sort of...
I need some advice.
It ends up being something you want to answer.
I'm coming to you, Jed.
Dance more weed, Frank.
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Who do I start at Flex?
Jed, gummies. Gummies, always gummies.
Anything beyond who do I start at Flex?
Delta 8.
How about Curtis always thinking of himself? I didn't even think about it from our angle. Yes, this is not good for us. I was thinking, the hell are you thinking asking this crew of idiots?
I need to know.
I need some advice.
I just need to know.
Geez, if it's about how to increase your diet to over 10,000 calories a day, you've come to the right place. Otherwise, I would keep moving.
How do I gain weight? What's best for gaining weight? The calorie intake or lack of movement?
Or both. It's the best. Okay, so this does border on politics just a little. If Missouri and Kansas had legalized betting, like a sports book somewhere, you know, and I know I could have done it online or whatever.
Would I be a millionaire today?
No, of course I would. No. Would I be broke today?
Yes.
I would have gone.
Have you not seen the 6 and 9 I'm hanging in the program picks these days? I'm a bona fide genius.
But you lived
savant,
in Vegas.
A savant, if you will.
You lived in Vegas for
God's
sake.
Well, you know what
I
learned? Don't bet so much, dumbass.
Well, I would have lost my ass.
On?
The Chiefs.
Oh, because you loved the Chiefs last week?
I just thought they got 14 guys on their list.
16 on the injured list by the time the game came around.
They got offensive linemen to flip around. They got no running backs. I mean, anybody that's supposed to be any good. their best corners out, and you're going. And remember, before they put the list out, it was 3.5 points.
I blame right? Eric Eager from Pro Football Focus.
They put the list out, and it's still 3.5 points.
And which is all the reason why I would jump all over the Baltimore Ravens under normal times. But Eric Eager gave me this big breakdown about how, well, it goes across the three. You know, it opened at 2.5, and smart bettors like me and George, we jumped on it at -2.5, and then it went to 4.5. So we jumped on it at 4.5, and we got a middle and 3 and 4, 12% of the games
laying
on 3 and 4. Yeah. So, no, okay. First they jumped on the Chiefs -2.5.
Okay.
And then it moved to 4.5, and so he jumped on the Ravens +4.5. So if the Chiefs had won by 3 or 4 points, exactly 3 or 4 points, they win both bets.
Okay.
Anything else, they just push.
Right.
Right? So that'll happen sometimes, and big players will jump on both sides, and you create this middle where you can land. It needs to happen more than 10% of the time, because you got to pay a 10% of the juice to get there. But and he said, look, they wanted to probably keep pushing this up towards 5, 5.5 with the injury news, but that creates an even bigger middle for people that got in at 2.5. And a lot of the big players put down big bets Sunday night, like when the lines first come out, they'll play these big bets. And that gives them the opportunity to then go back after on a middle and all these different things that were going on. And he's like, the further they push it, the bigger the middle is. And so the books have this exposure. So they hold it where it was, so that they don't have as much exposure to taking as big a loss, right? They always want to balance it out.
Yeah.
But with injuries and changes, big line moves that are unforeseen, because of situations that are unforeseen that change the view of the game, can leave them vulnerable.
But
I was like, oh, that sounds good. So they really want it to be at 5, 5.5, which is where I thought it should be. And so I'm all about the Chiefs. No! Turns out, it's what I thought. Too good to be true. Vegas knows that Baltimore's going to stick it right to Chris Jones in the run game and run right by him all day. The Chiefs' defensive line is a no-show, and they've got enough to get it done.
I
actually think there's some truth in what Eric said, and I think, if somebody, could actually run it, could, play it 10 times, and they said the Chiefs win it 7 times, I'd buy that. I'd buy that out of that matchup.
But then Vegas is betting the 3. I mean, they're betting the Baltimore.
Well, Vegas is taking all action.
Yes, I realize that. But Vegas is wanting you to take the Chiefs, don't you think? It's 3.5,
well, that's
all these injuries, and you're going to bet the Chiefs.
Yes, that's the way it certainly looked, that they felt like Baltimore's there. But I don't think you can say it went just as Vegas thought it was going to go when they're down 35-24 and the Chiefs have the ball in their hands early in the fourth quarter. I mean, I really think the Chiefs are the better team.
Yes.
Well, certainly with the injuries, they're definitively the better team. And I think if you played the game 10 times, they'd win it probably 7. And I think Baltimore's got guts, toughness, smarts.
Good coach.
A unique quarterback. Mm-hmm. Yeah, tremendous. Great football coach. I think John Harbaugh. If Bill Belichick or Andy Reid aren't the best coach in football, John Harbaugh is. And I think those are the top three, in my opinion. And Sean Payton's a little bit down after that, or ways down. I like those three guys up above everybody else. But I think that it was kind of a perfect storm. I mean, Patrick Mahomes did something he has never done in September. He not only threw an interception, it was awful. It was a terrible interception. That was all his fault. Usually his picks are halfway like, well, if Harbin doesn't stop running, or if, Watkins, if Robinson brings
catch,
that ball in.
Didn't go through his hands.
Yeah, right? Like, they're usually, he doesn't usually have any. Or it's like he threw it up for grabs at the end of a half, just taking a shot because he doesn't care about having an interception on his resume. And the game and that pick turned around into 7, and they gave up another 7, and the defense is truly inept. But I think there was a bit of a perfect storm that finally brought the win home for Baltimore.
Yeah, and the idea was they had the lead once in the third quarter by 11, right? Once mm-hmm. in the fourth quarter by mm-hmm. 11, and they couldn't put the game away either time, which was a little very unusual. For that football team to be up like that, not even to get out and get a field goal. They never added a point either one of those times. They didn't add a point
but
on either one of those drives.
By the way, Patrick Mahomes is such a gift to the city, to the sport of football, to the Chiefs, to Andy Reid. It appears, I don't know the man's personal life, but it appears to anyone around him. He seems to be a swell guy, right? But he is a freaking gift to sports talk radio. Because other than the Super Bowl, which it was the Super Bowl, so that gave us plenty to talk about, no matter how it went down. He's never lost a game that every fan didn't come away going, well, it was that guy's fault or that guy's fault or that guy. I mean, he doesn't lose by
more than a score. So every game is to be dissected because there are 20 different things that, had they gone the other way, probably would have meant that his team won. I mean, he is the gift that keeps on giving because he wins, keeps everybody invested in it. The team's winning. We want to talk Chiefs. We want to hear Chiefs. And then when they lose, it's a shock to the system, and they just barely lost. And we want to talk about that.
Because Allaire fumbled the damn ball. That's why.
Yeah.
Or Spagnuolo.
It wasn't his.
Spagnuolo can't play the athletes. Or Chris Jones shouldn't be at D-end. Or why'd we sign Jaron Reed? Or
our linebackers suck.
Yeah. You know, I mean, all those. Andy Reid handing the ball off. Why didn't he run Patrick Mahomes?
That's
if it were me, I'd run dive plays with Mahomes all day.
That's not an option. No, that's not an option.
What?
But he did have the ball twice, could have put the game away, and they didn't do it. They had the ball twice to put it away because they go up at that point. They got up 7 more points. They're up 18, and the game's over.
Jeff Chedia said to me that he thinks that teams are starting to kind of figure out the Chiefs' offense, the Mahomes phenomenon. And I said, you know, my first thought was, well, 35 points.
33.
28 offensive points.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But just knife through butter. Like I think they could be higher. I think against Cleveland, they geared down to keep their defense off the field. I think Andy Reid ran it more. And, you know, Jeff said to me, because, you know, they need to run the ball more, play more complementary football to protect their defense, keep it off the field. I said, that's great if you think Clyde Edwards-Helaire and this offensive line can run it, but at 3.3 yards a carry, what indication do we have that they actually can be effective running it? I kind of think just the opposite. Hell-bent, as many points as you can get, and don't stop until there are less possessions left for the other team, times 8, right, that still comes up with a number that's less than you're at right now. So if you think they can have the ball 3 times and you're up 44-20,
right.
You are bombs away.
Keep going.
You are firing.
Not too close.
We got to go. And then you walk out when the other coach goes, I don't know why they're running up the score, and go, well, I guess I've got a greater appreciation for your team than you do. I still thought you were dangerous.
Yeah, and our defense.
And in reality, you're going, well, my defense blows, and if you had this defense, you'd be going for this stuff too. That's, I think, what they're going to have to do.
No, I think so too.
Unless they get better on defense, which I think they could.
Yeah, I'm not sure how much better. That's the problem. You don't know how much better they can get. I mean, they're last right now for all practical purposes, giving up 400 and whatever yards rushing in two games.
17th.
Crazy.
On the 9 teams we studied in the last 10 years, they gave up 450 in each of the first two. 17th is the highest ranking that any one of those teams ever got.
They got
by the end of the season. But on the average, it was about 27.
But one of them went to the Super Bowl and lost. Yep. Two of them went to the conference championship game, that team, which was the 11 and Pats, and the 18 Chiefs got to the conference championship game.
And another one just went 15-1 that season.
And lost.
They did,
that was who, the Packers?
Packers.
Yeah. So there's a lot of history there that says the Chiefs can still have a very good regular season. I would ask you this. I don't know if scared, right? You have Patrick Mahomes, so you're not scared of anything with the Chiefs, but maybe concerned. What concerns you more? How this year's going to go? Based upon how it started, or how the next 3 years are going to go, based upon how this team is constructed and what looks like is coming.
That's probably contract-wise. That's probably scarier.
Is it just because it's more unknown? Like, we at least know the principles. Okay, Jaron Reed grades is one of the worst defensive tackles in football, but a lot of people said he was going to be pretty good when he got here, so we feel like, okay, that could work. You know, well, the Ravens and Browns are two of the best teams in the AFC, so we know they're pretty good franchises right now, and so we feel like it's got to get better as we move forward.
Yeah,
and so we just don't know how
teams.
It's going to play.
Right.
Because I'll be honest with you, I'm much more afraid of the future than I am how they fix this year.
Well, I'm more of an immediate guy, and I think the fans
are
very
immediate. Well, at your age, you have no choice.
I know. I could be dead by next season. So the deal is I'm more of an immediate guy. What are they going to do this year? We'll figure out the rest during the offseason. But they've backloaded so many of those contracts. They have so much money.
So you're why we have such a deficit in this country.
You're the reason. I'm going to spend.
Back
spend,
to Jed's
spend.
Politics. There you go, Jed.
I'm going
to
start taxing Jed, and that's it. I'm done. That's all I'm fine. Drew, stay away from my stuff.
It all comes all full right? circle. If the drugs were legal, we wouldn't be in this situation.
We would erase that deficit in a hurry, right, Jed? It'd be gone.
Single-handedly.
Yeah, and I understand what you're thinking about, but I think most...
Jet alone would get the state of Kansas out of debt.
Most people out there are probably more concerned about right now. They're not looking 3 or 4 seasons down the road. But I know exactly what you're talking about, because you've been talking about it for years, about how, you know, you pay the quarterback $500 million. You pay one a guy who was a defensive tackle, played great, decides, I'm going to be a defensive end. He decides it. Loses weight, tells everybody in the locker room, has been telling him since he's been here, I'm better outside, I'm better outside. He gets outside, he's lost, okay, out there. Signed Frank Clark, did great when they won the Super Bowl. Now he's a non-existent, just he isn't there. He's not doing anything. Linebacking situation, he's actually very scary.
Frank Clark is actually doing something. He's being the worst defensive end in the game, according to Pro Football Focus.
And then the other guy's the second worst defensive end in the game, right?
No, Chris Jones is 33rd.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Frank Clark is 101st out of 101.
Jeez, good Lord. Whew. Okay, then. We're doing good. But then a linebacking core doesn't look like it's up to snuff. I mean... Willie Gay's not there. Ben Neiman's playing all the time.
Do you agree with me?
Who looks like he's great against the run, but not against the pass. You got Juan Thornhill sitting out there, still sitting on the bench for Dan Sorensen, who's missing tackles all the time. He looks like he's in the right place, the right spot, and then somebody sidesteps him and goes.
Well,
and it's just
and all those things. Again, I still am more. So I think I've got number one. They've played two really good teams. Let's see what looks like. When they start playing some rummies and lay a beat down on some clubs.
And get some momentum going. Yeah.
And so I'm still optimistic. But how about, so let me paint you the picture.
Oh, I'm not, hold on, wait a minute. They're going to the playoffs. They're still going to win.
Right.
14 games. They're still going to win that many games. To me, even with the defense the way it is, they're still going to win those games against a lot of those teams.
Frank, I'm married, so I don't get to finish a sentence at home. Give me a shot here.
Okay.
You know, I just wanted to fire that joke.
I understand.
I know you do. I know you do.
Got it.
No, here's my point. Let me lay this scenario. So you just rattled off here are all these things we're worried about now. Okay, now let's worry about this. To this point. Let me get the rankings up here. So you make a move, you give up what is the equivalent of a low first round pick or a high second, call it whatever you want, for Orlando Brown. And currently, some accessory is disabled. I don't know why I'm getting it there. Get that out of the way. Currently, right now, Orlando Brown ranks 45th of 74 offensive tackles. 45th. You're going to get to the end of the year, and he's going to ask for $20 million a year. And I'm going to tell you, no matter, I don't think there's any way he plays up to a level that you go, yeah, I'm happy to do that. You may do it. This franchise definitely might do it. We heard Brett Veach say in preseason, well, we're planning on him at the franchise number.
Yeah.
Okay. So
that's for next year.
Right. Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. These are all questions about the future. So you gave all the this year questions. Here's the future questions. Either Orlando Brown stinks, and you move on from him, of which you just cashed out a low first-round pick, basically, and have nothing to show for it 1 year later, or you give him $20-plus million a year, and your cap situation takes on that weight. Tyrann Mathieu is going to turn 30 next year, and he'll be entering the first year of a deal that's going to pay him more than $15 million per year, and he's already had 2 reconstructed knees. If he goes down, who's the guy? It's Sorensen and Juan Thornhill, who they don't even want to play. And, oh, by the way, next year's the last year Thornhill's under contract. So if it's not Thornhill and Sorensen, who is it? Tyreek Hill will be entering the final year of his deal, and he wasn't willing to renegotiate just to create cap space.
Exactly.
So you think you're getting a hometown discount with Tyreek Hill?
Nope.
Guess what? You're not. You're not getting a hometown discount with him. Joe Tooney, he just made one of the highest paid guards in football. He grades at 36 out of 69. Okay? The good news is the rookies are actually the highest graded guys that are out there. Lucas Niang, 24 out of 74 tackles. Trey Smith, 28 of 69 guards. Creed Humphrey, 14 of 33 centers. That's the good news. That's the really good news. But Byron Pringle, DeMarcus Robinson, they're free agents. McCole Hardman has only got one more year. So you have no wide receiver after next year under contract. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has yet to prove
anything.
Yeah, really. I mean, not yet. You know, Frank Clark, you're going to cut. That's great. But you had to move your stud D tackle to DN because you couldn't find anyone to play opposite Frank Clark. Josh Kando, you drafted in the fourth round, is almost never going to be active. I mean, I've seen that movie. I know how that one looks, right? And so you're looking at Michael Dana because Alex Okafor is a stopgap.
Right.
You're going to cut Anthony Hitchens. Bolton's going to play middle linebacker. I feel pretty good about him playing middle linebacker.
Willie Gabe.
We don't know.
Be back.
We don't know what he is because we haven't seen him play.
Right.
You know, you got to pay Charvarius Ward. It's time for him to get a contract.
Yep.
I mean, there's a lot. Like, if you go Chiefs draft needs right now.
Yes.
Yeah. What spot what do you got? Center, right guard, and right tackle, and quarterback. Which is the most important one.
Right.
Otherwise, literally every other. And tight end, because I think tight ends can play to their mid-30s. But if you're looking 3 years over the horizon, that's it. That's it. And by then, Kelsey will be 33, so he's getting towards the end. And at least Noah Gray has been spectacular to start this season. You can feel good about Noah Gray.
He's just waiting for that all pro call.
Well, and then I was excited, like, hey, listen, Burton and Fortson each caught two balls for 25 yards. That's pretty good productivity from a fullback and a tight end. And then you come to find out, oh, it's because Blake Bell was out of the game. Not because they're like, well, these guys are good. They're like, well, we don't have Bell. What do? Well, throw it to them. They, like, were forced to. They didn't want to.
Right.
They were forced to. So now you look over the horizon and tell me.
Not good.
I mean.
Because you banked everything on one guy.
Yeah.
On your quarterback.
I mean, if you say, okay, 3 years from now, you know, in the and again, I know most fans, what do I care about 23? Well, I'll tell you why I care about it, because I'll take your call in 23. I hope, knock on wood, we're all still here. You know, heart attack, canned, all those different things that can get you when you're, you know, built like Curtis. But the you know, there's not that many answers out there. I mean, I think Bolton, I'm hoping Gay, but I don't know. I'm feeling pretty good about center, right guard, right tackle.
Yeah. All four of those, even Tooney, all four of them grayed out better than Brown.
And
he's the guy he brought in. He was going to be the miracle worker up front.
We're talking about, you know, 32-year-old Tyrann Mathieu being on the final year of a deal.
On two bad knees.
Yeah, I mean, so that's, to me, the scarier thought. And they keep spending draft picks for guys that are short-term answers.
And then things like CEH, first-round running back. Drafted a running back in the first round. One of those, you know, mortal sins that you commit.
that was a tough night for me. Because it was the running back that I thought was the best of the bunch going to my team, but at a pick that I would never want to see him take a running back with. Like, what do I do?
That gif of Larry David kind of going,
Sophie's choice here. Oh, my Lord.
Sophie's choice. That's good.
What?
I like that.
You like that reference?
I like that.
Yeah,
that was good.
So did eight other
half
people.
Half of our listeners are going to Googling Sophie's choice.
Sophie's choice.
Oh, I get it. That's funny. Okay. Yeah, I see. I get it.
Well, there's some doom and gloom then in this room. So,
well, I always offer this up. I'm a chronic worrier.
I know you are.
So I worry about the injuries. I worry about the contracts way more than most people. But I will say this. For a couple of years when I've been talking about all the guys that have been signing, I've said, you know, everyone's like, well, what does it matter? The cap's not real. And, you know, I'm not going to do it today. But I'm sure at some point in the near future I'm going to be battling with Seth Kaiser on it because we come at it from different – it's one of the reasons why I like having him on. But, like when everyone's like, Dan Sorensen, why is he playing?
They got nobody else.
Because he makes $1.5 million.
Well, like, no, that
who's
is the
who's the really good safety they passed on that they could have signed for $1.5 million? That's why he's playing. Why is Ben Neiman playing? Because he makes the league minimum.
Right.
So who is the league minimum linebacker that they went, we don't need him, who's playing at a Pro Bowl level?
No one.
Like, this is what you get when you sign every one of your stars.
Yeah, every
to
team.
To top of the food chain contracts.
I think every team has a weakness. Problem is, the Chiefs have a lot of weaknesses on defense. That's where they just don't have, well, we can pick on their linebackers. Or we can pick on the safety. Okay, which they're going to do anyway. They're going to really start targeting Sorensen now because he can't tackle. He's just not quick enough. I think he's always right spot, right time, great kid, hard, tough kid.
Most of his missed tackles, most of his missed tackles are because he's being outrun and he's diving for it. It's not that it's like, oh, geez, that guy just got out of the way. Right. It's not a Marcus Peters business decision to get the hell out of the way, or D Ford running the wrong direction from the play. It's nothing like that.
No,
the guy's trying,
but there are holes everywhere over there, and now you're starting to see holes on the offense. Seeing the hole at running back. We don't have a great one, but you know, Baltimore just proved if you can block up front, you can put anybody you want back there to be a running back, and they're going to have some pretty good success, you know. But that's the thing. You've got holes everywhere. We always thought, okay, they got their running back now, so without, you know, Kareem Hunt's gone, now we got CEH, so we're great right there. So we solidified that. Mahomes is going to be great. We redid the offensive line. Orlando Brown's going to be our big guy, and it's going to be great. And these young kids are going to all gel. Everything's going to be good. And they're finding out now teams are double-teaming Tyreek Hill, and he's getting four catches in a game for, you know, 30 yards or whatever it is. Travis Kelce still has a field day. But these teams are now playing with him right down. And like you said, teams are catching up to them. They know where their weaknesses are. And they're picking on them. I mean, these coaches out there are pretty smart. You know, John Harbaugh is a great football coach.
Well, you know what else? I think the Bucs did a great job of being crappy for a long time and then getting a Hall of Fame quarterback after assembling talent. Right. And then having a quarterback that kept losing them games, that kept them down there picking really high and all the rounds. And then they did a good job. But, I mean, to me, if I'm looking around and if I'm Brett Veach, I'm going – Kenny Golladay, Mike Evans, Antonio Brown, Rob Gronkowski, and then out of the backfield, Ronald Jones and number 7 from LSU. He's wearing 7. Leonard Fournette. Like, man, just keep, and their offensive line is good, too.
Okay.
Like, that's my frustration is, you know, I watched Dick Vermeil's Chiefs just keep drafting defensive linemen that sucked. And their offense got old. And Tony Gonzalez went out of town, and Eddie Kennison got old, and Priest Holmes got beat to hell, and Larry Johnson's foot blew out, and, you know, the offensive line grew old. Willie Rofe retired. Will Shields retired. And all of a sudden you're like, God, our offense sucks. Like, why don't we have any other guys? Well, because you were drafting friggin' Ryan Sims and
Junior
Seavey and Eddie Freeman and, you know, all these PUDs along the defensive line and never getting anywhere. Like, you know, figure out what you know. Go get some offensive talent. Right? Like, and at least be able to go up and down the field and don't ever let that offense fall apart. And, you know, they to me, they've got to get back to doing that and say, well, we're going to live with whatever we got on defense because we'll have the ball in our hands at the end and have a shot.
And I think that was the genius of Bill Belichick for all those years. He got out before they went down. Okay. He got out a year early and maybe the guy went to another team, was great for a year, but then after that he always had more
draft picks.
Right.
He's actually not very good at the draft. He just gives himself 10 picks, 11, 12 picks every year. So even if he's the worst GM out there and hits at the lowest percentage, doesn't matter. He takes more chances, more shots at it. You know, I mean, like if the goal is to, you know, get a dart in the middle of the dartboard, and I give you 3 darts, and you're 33%, and I'm only 10%, but I take 40 darts, I'm going to kick your ass.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, and that's what he does. And I think that, to me, is what's been baffling, is all the draft picks always moving up, right? Always moving up, always moving it for guys today. Like,
And he has to give up good players to get good draft picks back. And that's the one thing he's never afraid to do.
Yeah,
and that's the genius.
Exactly.
That.
I mean,
that's like
Eric
Eager
said it on here a number of times. He's like, listen, the Baltimore Ravens trade good players. They walk away from good players and take the compensation picks.
They traded a guy that the Chiefs thought was a hell of a player, Orlando Brown. And they're like, wow, yeah, we'll take that guy. Sure. What do you want?
Yeah.
Give them whatever they want because after the Super Bowl, you see exactly what you need. You don't have 2 tackles anymore. You have any.
Which,
so you've got to go back and get that.
Orlando Brown is 45th, right? And the Chiefs gave up what is the equivalent of a bottom of the first, top of the second round pick after you take it all out, use the draft chart
that. Who did they? I don't want to throw a monkey around. Who did they draft?
Oh, the guy who caused the fumble against Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who they used the pick on.
There it is.
Owe.
Yeah, Owe is who they drafted. Their tackles, Alejandro Villanueva, who was available for a few million dollars.
Remember, we thought the Chiefs were going to get him.
Was it at 1.075? Is that what we saw? Or I'm not thinking of somebody
else.
No.
That's Alex Okafor.
Oh, that's
look
right.
Look up Alejandro Villanueva contract. I think it's like in the neighborhood of.
And he was out there a long time.
Mm-hmm. He grades 18th of 74 offensive tackles. And Patrick, I'll quote Eric Eager, something calling itself Patrick McCary, who played right tackle, grades 35th of 74. Again, if you did not catch earlier when I said Orlando Brown currently is grading 45th.
Yeah.
They have better. And again, the Pro Football Focus is not everything. And I think Orlando Brown's going to have opponents that he dominates and plays better against. And I think those numbers, I think Orlando Brown's going to be better than Alejandro Villanueva. Most people's, the consensus on Villanueva is there's not much left in the tank.
But
if it doesn't.
But you could.
It's a Titanic mistake.
You could have used that pick you gave them to get a tackle.
2 for 14 for Villanueva.
2 for 14. And I'm going to tell you. And if you're like, well, so cap wise, it may have been like, yeah, well, Villanueva is wanting, you know, 2 for 14 to sign him.
$8 million guaranteed.
Part of the reason you went and got Orlando Brown is he only cost $3.3 million.
Right. And he's how old?
But you paid with a first round draft pick to get. The guy, and he's younger, and has more football and has an upside to it. It's not the move of a madman.
No.
Not at all.
Villanueva's 33.
But if Villanueva plays most of the year, and the other thing that's a killer is Eric Fisher played for the Colts last week. Let's see where Eric Fisher ranks.
Yes, he did.
You had him under contract, again, for a lot more than Orlando Brown, right? And after one game, Eric Fisher on the PFF grades. 42nd of 74, so he wasn't spectacular.
Right.
But he's right around what Orlando Brown is. So from that standpoint, so far you're getting equal production for less money, but you paid a first-round pick to do it.
Yeah, you gave up first round. And you could have, you know, drafted someone, you know, you could have drafted an offensive tackle in that first round. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So there you have it.
Yeah.
Thanks for making us all feel better, Frank.
You're welcome.
We'll take a break, get some opinions.
That's why I'm here.
That's right. The great Frank Bull is with us. The godfather of Kansas City sports is in the house.
The program with Soren Petro.
Good guy to hang out with. He's a good guy to work with. He's got the characteristics of what you would hope that your best friend or a brother would have.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, the Jazz, end of the hour answer. It seemed like an odd time frame for me to use. There's a reason for it. From 1973 through 1983, he led the NFL in receptions, receiving yards, and receiving touchdowns. Who might he be?
This chair is not a good on-air chair.
It is not. No, that's true.
73 to 83.
Mm-hmm. Led the NFL in catches. Receiving yards.
You love Cliff Branch, touchdowns. But Cliff Branch didn't have enough catches.
No, he is second on one of those lists, though.
Yards, definitely not catches.
And, touchdowns.
Nailed it.
He is 72 today.
Otis Taylor.
The pride of Southern University, maybe? Yeah, that really isn't giving anything away. He's very tall.
Harold Carmichael. Nailed it.
Eagles.
Harold Carmichael. Yeah, he's a Hall of Famer. Late to get the Hall of Fame nod, though.
Yep.
You know, he didn't go in until the veterans.
127 consecutive games with the catch back when that was actually meant something. The fact that he played the early part of his career in a era when they didn't throw the ball much and rarely threw it to wide receivers. The first 5 years in that stretch I just named, the leading receiver catches-wise in the NFL as a running back, five straight years, 73 to 78. So the wideouts didn't make a lot of hay in the mid-70s, and he still got it done.
Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen, what we were playing for there. Great Cajun food from Jazz. Get it tonight. What are you waiting on? Out at the Legends in Independence at I-70 and 291, of course, the original 39th and State Line. Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. Don't forget they cater, and they do a phenomenal job catering as well. Frank Bull, the godfather of Kansas City sports, is here. Time for some Frank opinions. Kay, where do we begin?
We begin with the National Football League and the Chiefs in particular. What's the biggest issue for the Chiefs defense? Defensive line, linebackers, secondary, or coaching?
Ooh. I'll say,
minds want to know.
I will say defensive line since it's.
Yeah, we spent a lot of time talking about talking the cost. About so I'm with you. I'll go D-line too.
51.5%, 35% said linebackers, 12% said coaching, only
2%. What was the percent that said D-line?
51.5.
That's only 0.2% more than they cost under the cap. No, it's actually not true. 25.1%.
1 quarter of the cap is on those guys.
That's right.
What should the Chiefs have done on the final play? Run it or pass it?
Not pass it.
Pass it.
What percentage? Say pass.
I'll go first this time.
You're basically asking how many people are actually sane?
75.
74. 57. Oh, God.
It's the program's listenership. We got some smart,
so you do. Yeah.
Lucent
There's no doubt
people.
About it. And I'm bad at math, so it's a double-edged sword for me.
Should the Chiefs move Chris Jones back inside, yes or no?
Oh, yes.
Yes, oh, God, yes. Yes.
Yesterday.
Mm. Yeah. Percentage?
Day before.
I'll go first this time. 76.
75.
70.6. Oh, damn it.
Hey, that was pretty close. I got smashed.
It's about where I thought it was, but I thought you'd come in on the over on that one. So.
No.
The Chiefs are currently 32nd in the NFL in yards allowed. Where will they finish the season? Top 20, 21 to 25, 26 to 30, or 31 to 32?
26 to 30.
Oh, boy. I got 21 to 25.
This is a close one. 40% said 21 to 25. 37% said 26 to 30.
You're such a loser, Frank.
I am.
You're such a loser, Frank.
Royals have 10 games left.
Loser,
How many games do they win of those 10? And I'm glad that they rescheduled today's rainout because this question is still accurate. 10 games left. How many do they win?
Five, and four they better win
fewer?
Five.
Four or fewer, five or more.
Five or more, baby. Come on. Bring it home.
What are my choices?
Four or fewer, five or more.
Why would you say five or more?
Because I need five to get to my bet, my Vegas bet that I didn't
You're
make.
At 73 and a half also?
74.
Jake
I
needs
took over.
Too.
I took over, yeah. Come on, baby.
No, I'm four or fewer.
52-48, five or more.
Yeah!
Really?
I put this one out early thinking, is the number the middle number too low? And I was surprised to hear more people thought five or four.
Hey, here's the killer. So they get rained out today, right? They're going to supposedly make up the game when they come back to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's going to happen. The game's not going to be anything. They're going to play one less game, and I'm going to end up with 73 instead of 74. That's the way my luck goes. That's why I should never bet me.
You
I'm
might
terrible.
Check that ticket. It might say 162 games have to be played.
Okay. All right,
so you
I
might
will.
Check that.
Okay, I'll check. Yeah, I didn't look that. I didn't scrutinize it.
Yeah, well, it's just because you're an amateur.
I know that. You don't have to remind me of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How many home runs does Sal Perez end the season with? 47, 48, 49, 50 or more?
50 or more.
Yeah, 50 or more. We have more choices for that. And then plus, fans are optimistic. They're rooting for Salvi. That's what they want to happen. 50 or more.
41% said 49. 27%
really?
Said 50 or more. 24% said 48.
We didn't take into account that 49 would give him a new franchise record, and that's good enough for folks.
Did he? He still hasn't gotten his aside. He still hasn't gotten his ball back. From that guy.
Nope.
Okay.
Not that I've seen. Who is the best catcher since 1970?
Oh God.
I marked this. I threw out a little pre-poll, and I could not come up with a group of four to go all the way back. The best I could do was from 70 on. Johnny Bench, Carlton Fisk, Gary Carter, Ivan Rodriguez.
I think there's going to be a recent.
Am I winning?
A lot of people don't know.
It is tied 3-3, and you each have a bonus point.
Wow. Most people never saw Johnny Bench play. And a lot of people, probably Carlton Fisk. I'm going to say Ivan Rodriguez. I'm going to say Pudge.
I think it's either Bench or Pudge. Fisk and who? And Gary Carter?
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be Fisk or Carter. They're either going to know the numbers that he was passing Bench.
You're both on the right track.
Or they're going to go recency bias. I'm going to go with Johnny Bench. Enough have heard the great stories of Bench. I'm going to say Bench.
59% said Johnny Bench. 33% said Ivan Rodriguez, 6 said Fisk, 3 said Gary Carter. Let's see. Who will be the second best team in the AFC West? Raiders, Broncos, Chargers, or Chiefs?
I'm going to say Raiders.
Yeah, I think the right answer is actually the Broncos. I'll stand with what I said beforehand. I think their roster is good. Schedule's smiling on them. They get three easier games because of the new 17th game. And I think, you know, they're going to play good football everywhere, and then the quarterback's just not going to blow it. So I felt like the Broncos are the team that could mount the best, like kind of a 95-97 Chiefs year, 13-3 uh-huh. type of year. But I think the fans are going to be enamored with Derek Carr throwing the ball around, and the Raiders are more of a known commodity, so I'll say the Raiders as well.
39.6% said the Chargers, 38.9% said the Raiders.
So pretty close.
All right, one final one. Did you watch the Manning telecast? Let me see if it's broken a tie. It has. That'll give you a hint that it's close. Did you watch the Manning telecast in week two? Yes or no?
I'll say a lot of people didn't watch it in the first week, but they heard a lot about it, so they probably watch it in the second week.
I'm not playing position. Yes was where I was going. I think for exactly the reasons Frank said.
50.2% said no. 49.8% said yes. It was 52-48 no in week one. I thought there might be a difference between the two.
Are you a fan of that, Frank?
I've only seen a little of it. I haven't.
I don't think you can watch a whole game on it.
No.
And I think when it's the Chiefs, you're going to get annoyed as crap. When it's your team, it's going to suck.
Yeah, and I was just thinking, the only time I really got into it was when I knew Travis Kelce was going to be on.
Yeah.
Week one, I'd say, okay, fine.
Yeah.
Then this week's lineup was, who the fuck? Who the heck was on?
Wow. Wow. Let's take a break on that note.
The program with Soren Petro.
I forgot the question. I do that a lot.
Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
All right, what in the world, Frank? Trying to keep it together.
Buddy,
what do you got for us?
President says he doesn't want to start a Cold War with what country?
I'm assuming China.
Very good. One for one. Governor of Massachusetts has activated the National Guard to do what?
Massachusetts. Jeez. A lot of jokes I'm thinking of involving racism and stuff, but I'll just say I don't know.
Drive school buses.
Oh, really? Okay. Yep.
Under new proposed tax plan, what is the highest rate now?
98%.
39.
Gonna get you, Richie's, Frank.
39.6% for $450,000 and above. That's up from 37%.
Okay.
And what happened today at 2:20 p.m.?
Curtis's career officially tanked.
I said fart knocker.
Fall?
Better than what I said.
Became
first
fall?
Day of fall.
First day of fall.
Got it.
Lezak's pissed. Not a cloud in the sky. Yep. What's he going to do? What is he going to do?
Burnt end of the hour question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
All right, over the last 9 seasons, how many times have the New York Giants started the season 0-2? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.